It's time to chat movies. Michael Jones is in, and Mr. Jones, there is only one movie that people are talking about right now.
Yeah, there certainly is, and it's good to see that there's a new Christmas film tradition that has developed to replace what's been a bit of a Christmas tradition over the last couple of years, that is sending articles bagging Love Actually around on Facebook, a film that we all enjoyed as much younger, less cynical people.
Yes.
And I think this disenchantment actually came out of our disappointment with the Hobbit series of films, and then people just got really narking, oh, let's bag a film that was fun, that was like, actually, so it's good to see that a film that we did all enjoy as much younger people, or a series of films, Star Wars, is back on our screens again. And this one is called Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Mm.
And it stars a namesake of mine, Felicity Jones. Also, Diego Luna, Alan Tudyk. Well, you really only hear Alan Tudyk's voice in this one. He plays a droid called K2SO. Ben Mendelsohn playing yet another creep. In a Hollywood film. I think he's been typecast since Animal Kingdom.
I think he might have been.
And Forrest Whitaker playing a mystical revolutionary that nobody knows too much about. This film is directed by Gareth Evans, who was responsible for 2014's Godzilla.
Which was a great film. Sorry.
Great
I
film.
Loved it.
You
I
loved
it.
It. I don't think a lot of other people did. But anyway, but don't let that stop you from seeing Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Anyway, Rogue One is based on some fan fiction, I believe, that was very, very popular. It may have even been a short film at some point.
Wow.
About the mission to steal the plans to the Death Star.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so our main character is Jyn Erso, played by Felicity Jones, and she and her ragtag band of rebels, that is their mission. I don't think I'm revealing any spoilers to say that they're actually going to be successful.
If people aren't unaware of that by now, we can't help them.
If you've been living under a rock since 1977, the plans do get stolen. Princess Leia gets her hands on them, and you know that, and the rest is kind of cinematic history. She's accompanied on her mission by a fellow called Cassian Andor, who may or may not have an ulterior motive for joining her on the mission.
Ooh.
Yes, we don't know what he's really doing there. Look out also for a couple of familiar faces from the prequel series. Jimmy Smith popped up at one point, and also Genevieve O'Reilly. She pops up as well. You probably don't remember her quite as well as Jimmy Smith, because all of her scenes except one were cut out. But she does appear in this one. She actually has a bit of a speaking role. Look out for her, and also look out for a couple of familiar faces from the middle three Star Wars films as well. A couple of familiar faces, though they may be CGI faces.
Aww.
Yes, I don't want to get your hopes up too much. They're not totally lifelike, but I think they're pretty good attempts.
All right, good.
Pretty good attempts. I was quite happy with it. Now, look, onto the film as such. Look, it's got a bit of a slow beginning, but it does pick up towards the obligatory spectacular climax, which we've come to expect from Star Wars films. But it does have a much darker tone.
Hmm.
This film is, I believe, rated PG-13 because there are some themes in there which may be disturbing to young kids. This film actually reminds us that the series is called Star Wars, and in wars, people actually die.
Oh, wow.
And some of those people that die in this film may be people that you've come to love.
Wow.
I won't tell you who they might be, but, you know, look out. But having said that, Jimmy Smits's character does race off to Alderaan towards the end of the film. So, you know, his fate his fate is pretty much sealed.
Again, I hope that's not a spoiler for anyone, because if it is, you need to catch up.
Yeah, look, but I was quite thankful for that, because that almost removes any trace of the dire prequels.
They were dire.
That emerged in the late 90s, early 2000s. Anyway, like I said, a darker tone, but some really vivid colours, brilliant visual effects, and amazing action sequences, again, as you'd come to expect. There are a few cracking one-liners in the film, but they were kind of lost in the darkness, I thought. It's very hard to laugh when you realise that you're watching what is pretty much a suicide mission for perhaps some people in the film. Like many have already said, the Force is pretty strong with Rogue One, and despite it being called Rogue One, this film actually is a pretty good fit for the Star Wars universe, and I think it does a very good job of replacing Revenge of the Sith as Episode 3 in the series.
Interesting.
And that's pretty much all I'll say, otherwise I'll start revealing too much and spoiling things for people.
Well, I'm glad you haven't, because I'm seeing it 1 o'clock, and I'm very happy to be spoiler-free going in there. All right, well, look, you know, people are going to go see it, whether it gets a thumbs up or a thumbs
exactly.
down.
Exactly. I could have just come on here and said nothing. Or I could have just not turned up at all.
I'm glad you didn't do either of those things, though. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Odd title. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Thank you very much, Mr. Jones. I believe next week we're getting your highs and lows of 2016 when it comes to cinema.
Correct.
Fantastic. Looking forward to that.